In the early 1980s, at the age of 18, Jeremy Oxley was touted as one of the most talented singer-songwriters in Australia. Frontman of the highly successful pop rock band The Sunny Boys, Jeremy, along with his older brother Peter, achieved rapid success. Have a listen and see if this brings back any memories.
Sunny Boys are a group from Sydney, and they're going to do really, really big business. Here they are, Sunny Boys. They speak for themselves, Alone With You.
Alone With You was one of the band's biggest hits, from a self-titled debut that also contained the songs Happy Man, Shaking, Trouble In My Brain and Liar. The band's light shone very brightly for a few years, but as we now know, relentless touring and rushed recording sessions took their toll, and the creative force of the Sunny Boys, Jeremy Oxley, shouldered a crushing burden to match the band's initial success. The stress would trigger a downward spiral into the lonely horror of schizophrenia. That story is coming to your television on ABC One on Sunday, November 3, in the form of a feature-length documentary film called The Sunny Boy, and the director, Kay Harrison, is on the phone from the Central Coast. Kay, I know you're a fan of The Sunny Boys. What's your earliest memory of The Sunny Boys' music?
Well, my first memory is just really visual, maybe because I'm a visual person, but I remember the debut album and that blue album and the guy sitting there, and it's so iconic, that album cover. So I think that's my first memory of the Sunny Boys. But, I also, like many people, loved Alone With You and Happy Man and just the sort of up energy and the good feelings that music created.
There's a lot in the film for fans of the Sunny Boys music, isn't there? There's early concert footage of a pre-Sunny Boys band called The Strand. There's family photos and movies of the Oxley brothers growing up. Home recordings of early jam sessions, but it's not a film about a band, is it?
No, it's a film about Jeremy's life, and hope as much as possible from Jeremy's own point of view and the people closest to him. In terms of selecting all that archive and, you know, the choice of songs, Sunny Boys songs, they're very much chosen to help tell the narrative, to help tell that story and whatever it was that was going on in his life at that time, because he puts so much of what he's experiencing into his lyrics, into his music.
When you first met Mary and Jeremy, it was some way down the road to recovery for him. You've shown that Mary kind of found Jeremy in this mad and desperate state. He was unkempt, delusional. He was verging on a diabetic coma. Despite his condition, Mary could see a glimmer of the man within. Here's a clip from the film where Jeremy's mum and dad, Jan and Eric, describe Jeremy's condition at that time and how someone like Mary couldn't have come along at a better time in his life.
He was just out of touch with reality. He was sort of alone and wanted to be alone, and there seemed to be nothing we could do about it.
He needs to meet, you know, a wonderful girl that's a nurse that can look after him, you know, and then all of a sudden, you know, she drops down. She fell from heaven.
How did you come to be introduced to Mary and Jeremy?
I heard about Jeremy's story through a mutual friend of Peter Oxley's, and I'd sort of gone off my radar about Jeremy's mental illness, but I had been wanting to make a film about schizophrenia because of the stigma and fear associated with it. So when I heard about Jeremy sort of being in a much better place in his life now, I thought, well, maybe this is a story I could tell, because I wanted to tell a story of hope as well, hope and recovery. So I met Peter and he told me about Mary and, you know, the impact that Mary had had on Jeremy's life, which is phenomenal, and put me in touch with Mary and Jeremy. And I was just very open and honest with them right from the start why I wanted to make this film, and also because I wanted to empower Jeremy to tell his own life story. So it really took, it just took time to build up that trust over the months that I was with them. I was filmed with them for approximately 18 months in total, but I'd film every 3 weeks for 3 days at a time. And just over that period of time, Jeremy and I got, and Mary, we just got to know each other and just worked very openly on the film, and just it evolved in a very sort of transparent way.
One of the challenges in telling the story is that Jeremy doesn't accept that he actually has that condition.
Yeah, I don't know whether accept is the right word. It's more he just doesn't have the insight into it. It's part of his condition that he doesn't have insight into his schizophrenia, which isn't the case for all people who live with schizophrenia. But for Jeremy, he just is incapable of knowing that he has a condition. But that's not always the case, because it depends on the day and how he's feeling, because some days he does ask Mary, you know, when is his next medication due and maybe he needs some more. So, you know, it does fluctuate according to how he's feeling. So it's quite complicated.
In the process of filming Jeremy's story and his health challenges, and it is a story of hope and celebration of survival, talk turns to the possibility of a reunion of the band. There's a clip here that starts with Mary and Jeremy just sort of talking, and then it ends with a conversation between Jeremy and his brother Peter.
I thought I was a really good guy.
You are.
But I'm not a schizophrenic.
Yeah, you are, but that doesn't make you a bad person.
I think you're a schizophrenic. I think it takes
one
to know one.
What a schizophrenic thing to say.
No. Put the chocolate down.
He's overweight, he's diabetic, and now having these unusual heart rhythms.
When I was down, frightened of the world.
Do you reckon the Sonny Boys could play together, though, these days after... After being so old?
Oh, yeah. But it'd be, you know, you'd really need to want to do it. See, once you go into the public, you've got to make sure that you're comfortable doing that. And if you don't, if you're not, then you won't have a very nice time and it wouldn't be very good.
Kay, that conversation was a massive turning point, not only for the film, which you must have been ecstatic about, but for Jeremy moving toward what would ultimately become this massive comeback.
Yes. That was a pivotal point, I think, in Jeremy's relationship with Peter, because the film really documents the brothers coming back together again. And so until that happened, there was never going to be a reunion of the Sonny Boys. It all really pretty much depended on Pete and Jeremy coming back together again and playing a song that they co-wrote when they were young. So it was quite phenomenal that they just started playing it together at that moment in time. It was just like all the years of separation had gone. So it was quite incredible to be there at that moment and to capture that.
You're listening to 12:33 ABC Newcastle. I'm Anthony Scully, taking over Carol Duncan's afternoon program briefly, while I get to talk to Kate Harrison, who's the director of The Sonny Boy, a full-length feature documentary about the life of Jeremy Oxley, lead singer of one of my favourite bands growing up, The Sonny Boys. The Sonny Boy is coming to ABC One on Sunday, November 3 at 9:25pm. Kay, your film, it starts out with Jeremy walking onto the stage at the Enmore Theatre before the band's first performance together in more than 20 years, playing on the Hoodoo Guru's Invitational Dig It Up concert under a pseudonym, Kids in Dust. News spread like wildfire that the Sonny Boys were back, but I guess what your film shows, which is extraordinary, is that that performance of 8 songs or so happened after only 4 rehearsals. Although the Enmore gig is now considered to be a triumphant return, what your film shows is Jeremy's health was still quite fragile and it was really quite courageous for him to step back onto the stage.
Yes, yes. Well, his health still is fragile, but... Yeah, it was. They only actually had three days of rehearsal, and they hadn't played together for 21 years. So the guys all practiced individually, and then came together on that first rehearsal day. But there's so much confidence in each other. like Bill Bilson says, it's like pulling on comfy old slippers. There's something between those four guys that's really special. And Jeremy knew that he needed to have those three guys with him in order to feel confident enough to make that step and to return to the stage and put himself out there in the public. And, yes, I really admire Jeremy's strength and courage to do that.
Let's fast forward from that concert, which is where your film ends, through the subsequent Sonny Boys appearances, supporting Elvis Costello. There's been festivals, select pub shows, to June this year at the Sydney Opera House during Vivid and the Sydney Festival and the world premiere of the Sonny Boy film, at which I was in the audience, which was to be followed by a live performance by the Sonny Boys in the Dame Joan Sutherland Theatre, no less. You're joined on the stage at the end of the film by Mary, Jeremy and Peter to a standing ovation, and I can report there's not a dry eye in the house. What did it feel like on that stage holding hands together?
It's pretty overwhelming. I wanted Jeremy to just feel that the applause from the audience, which I thought was going to happen. I was quite surprised at how overwhelming it was, and that it was a standing ovation and the amount of emotion in the room. But I wanted Jeremy to feel the love from the fans, because when I started filming with him, he said to me, "I don't think anyone remembers the Sonny Boys," and he sort of felt like he'd been forgotten and maybe just throughout the years misunderstood. So I just wanted him to feel that moment in time that, you know, people still care for him, still care for his music. And in fact, I think it was so intense, it was a bit much for him. He seemed very embarrassed and without his guitar to hide behind. But when we walked off the stage, he said to me, "I think you actually need to do a 3-hour version, because I don't think there's enough. I haven't got enough of myself in the film." So it was a pretty incredible moment.
Well, the memory of seeing your film, followed by my first ever experience of the Sonny Boys live in concert at the Sydney Opera House, no less, will go down in my books as the most extraordinary concert experience of my life. So, Kay Harrison, thanks for talking to 1233 ABC Newcastle.